Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Erev and daf Memches. We're on Mem Zayin Amud Beis, and we start today with a new sugya, and the sugya is going to be chafatzim that are owned by a non-Jew. Okay, we're in the fourth parak of Erev, which means that we're talking about Tchum. Tchum Shabbos means that you can only walk within 2,000 amos of your point of center, what we call Makom Shrisa. On Shabbos, we've learned that you have a tchum. We've also learned that anything that you own also has a tchum. What's the tchum of the items you own? That's very simple. Whatever, same as you. Whatever your tchum is, that's your item's tchum as well. What about items that are not owned? Heftei hefker. So that we saw as a machlokes between the Tanaim. Rav Yochum and Nuri say that heftei hefker are going to be, in fact, be kona, and the Chachamim say that heftei hefker are not going to be kona. So that means now if you find an item and you're outside of you're somewhere outside of your Makom Shrisa and you find an item, so according to Rav Yochum and Nuri, it's going to be a very strange phenomena where you may be able to pick the item up, and let's say it's Yantav. I told you, it's always much easier to talk about this on Yantav where you're allowed to carry, and you pick and there's still Tchum on Yantav, so you pick an item up on Yantav, and now you can carry the item, but not to the same places you can go. You have your Tchum, the item has its Tchum, and so what's going to come about is a very absurd reality, which is halachic reality, where there you have to look at the Venn diagram and see where exactly you and the item, you know, can go together. So, but it can't leave its chum, and you can't leave your chum. Okay, so that's the opinion of Rav Yochum Menuri, and this is what's called Chefte Hefker. Now we move on to another discussion, which is, what about chafatzim that are owned by a guy? Now this is a very strange discussion of the Gemara, because if you think about it, you're talking about a guy, you're talking about somebody who doesn't have to keep Shabbos. It's not allowed to keep Shabbos. It's, in other words, he has no tchum. And so if he has no tchum, I mean, this is a real easy kal vachomer. If he has no tchum, so the items that he owns also certainly doesn't have a tchum. So even the discussion of a tchum of a non-Jew, tchum of an items of a non-Jew, it's a strange discussion. And as strange as it is, that's where we're going today in today's daf. First part of today's daf, Mem Zayin Amud Beis. So we discussed this very issue. We're after the two dots. We're about a quarter of the way down on the Amud. Amr of Yudah, Amr Shmuel. So the Gemara starts off the discussion with a statement made by Rav Yehuda Mashmol, Cheftzei Nachrin Kona Shvisa, that Chafatzim of a non-Jew are not Kona any particular Shvisa. So that statement, in of itself, fine. Meaning, doesn't have a Tchum? Good. Leman. Who is this statement addressing? Meaning, whose position are we working within? Elam the Rabban Pshita Hasha Chefzei Hefker Leisle Balim Ein Kona Shvisa Cheftzei Nachrin Yisro Balim Ibaye. So the Gemara starts off the discussion by saying, look, here's what's obvious. It can't be that we're going aliba de chachamim. Because the chachamim say that items that are not owned don't have a tchum. If items that are not owned don't have a tchum, items that are owned by a non-Jew certainly doesn't have a tchum. Non-Jew again, non-Jew has nothing to do with Shabbos, has nothing to do with tchumim. So if you could make an argument, the Gemara is basically saying, I could make an argument that items, non-owned items have a tchum, and even that the chachamim reject. If the chachamim are rejecting that argument, for sure, items owned by a non-Jew don't have a tchum. So, in other words, this statement of Rav Yehuda Mashmol can't be within the Chachamim. So, El Aliba de Rav Yochem and Nuri. So, it must be that he's working within the thinking of Rav Yochem and Nuri. The Kamash Malan, Eim Adam Rav Yochem and Nuri, Konen Shvisa, Hani Milach Hefzei Hefker. And Rav Yochem ben Nuri's position is limited. Yes, it's true that Rav Yochem and Nuri will tell you that items that are ownerless have a tchum, but the less ubalim of a chefse anachri, this ubalim lo. But items that are owned by a non-Jew, they don't have a tchum. Those items do not have a tchum, being that its owner is not Jewish. Good. Ad kan, so in other words, basically, we have a statement to Rav Yehuda Mashmuel. Basically, the Gemara is, in other words, the Gemara is saying kluy alma, meaning we all agree. It doesn't have a tchum, and the only discussion is, was he trying to say a chiddush within the chachamim? Nah, it's too big. There's really nothing to be said. He's saying it within the position of Yochum and Nuri. Yeah.
Ownerless is less than goyim.
So ownerless, again, it depends how you what we're talking about. We're talking about now its restricted ability to move around. Ownerless has got one up on something owned by a non-Jew. Right. Ownerless means that going into Shabbos, it could be picked up by anybody, and that anybody could be a Jew. Right. Owned by a guy, in other words, he has nothing to do with Shabbos. His possessions certainly have nothing to do with Shabbos. So that's right now where we're starting with this discussion. Good. Meitzvei the Gemara then challenges with a bracelet. Let's say you borrow something from a non-Jew, on Yom Tov. V'chein hamashal al anachri kli merav yantav v'yachzir lo biyantav. Or let's say you lend something to an anjur and he returns it to you on yantav. V'akel v'atzar sheshavta b'soch hatchom utensils and storehouses that were within tchom yesh la mapayim amal l'chol ruach. So they have 2,000 amas in every direction. V'nachri shehevi lo peres mechotzot tchom. Now, what if a non-Jew brings fruit from outside of Tchom? Harizeh lo yiziza mim kamam. So then you cannot move those items. Okay, now, we have a problem. This brisa that we just quoted clearly is endorsing, is espousing the viewpoint that there is a Tchom by items that are owned by a non-Jew. That's a brisa. Now, we don't know authorship of the brisa, but that is a brisa. So if you want to tell me that Rav Yochanan Nuri holds that not only do ownerless items have a tchum, but items owned by a non-Jew also have a tchum, so at least now I could look at this braisa, point my finger at it and say, that's Rav Yochanan Nuri. But Eli Yamar Kazar Rav Yochanan Nuri Chafsi Anachri in Kodesh Shvisa Hamani Lo Rav Yochanan Nuri Velo Rabbanan. But if you wanted to go with our original thinking that everybody agrees that Chafsi Anachri don't have a tchum, so then we have a brisa without authorship. It's neither the Chachamim nor is the Rav Yochanan Nuri, and the Gemara doesn't have another choice to go to. There's no other option, so that's a problem. La Olam Kazar Rav Yochanan Nuri Chafsi Anachri Kodesh Shvisa. So the Gemara says, okay. So we're going to have to change our tune a little bit. Rav Yochanan Nuri says that items owned by a non-Jew also have a tchum. Ushmol damar karabanan, and Shmuel was saying the statement within the Chachamim. Now, why didn't we like this to begin with? Because we thought to ourselves, what a no-brainer. If ownerless items don't have a tchum, items owned by a non-Jew should have a tchum. Udika amar l'rabanan pshita ma'udetema. I might have thought, Gzera Balam de Nachri, Atu Balam de Yisrael. So here I might have thought the following, Gzera, rabbinic decree. Meaning, look, we know that you have a tchum and your items have a tchum. Meaning, Jews. So basically, now the thinking is that something that's owned subscribed to a tchum. Now again, if it's owned by a non-Jew, the non-Jew himself doesn't have tchum Shabbos. So his items don't have a tchum. But at least though, the basic idea is ownership. And I might have thought that if I get myself into the habit of thinking that a non-Jew owns an item and that doesn't have tchum, well, okay, fine. Well, it's an item. It doesn't have tchum. I may then might come along and think items owned by a Jew also don't have a tchum. So what Rav Yochanan Nuri now is proposing, or what the Gemara is proposing within Rav Yochanan Nuri, is that you're right. In actuality, of course, there's no tchum for items owned by a non-Jew. But and from a Gzera standpoint, so we don't want to get people into the thinking that these are items and therefore what's the difference? So therefore, all items that are under ownership are going to have a tchum. Kamash malan. So that's the Gemara says, that's the Chiddush within the Chachamim. Good. So now we have started off by saying nobody subscribes to this idea. Now we have Rav Yochanan ben Nuri subscribing to this idea that Cheftei Nachri are constricted to Tchum. And then the Gemara takes this conversation one step further. Rav Chiya bar Avinam, Rav Yochanan, Cheftei Nachri konen shvisa. And now we have the last stage of this discussion, which is a halacha offered by Rav Yochanan, which is that items owned by a non-Jew do in fact have a Tchum. Gzera balim de Nachri, Atu Balam de Yisrael, exactly for this reason, for Gzera. So in other words, now basically we are at the 180 degree from where we started the discussion. We started the discussion by saying no one subscribes to this idea, and then Rav Yochanan says, oh, by the way, that's the halacha, that items owned by a Nachri do in fact are subscribed by Tchum. Right? What's a Tchum going to be? I assume, the Gemara doesn't make this clear, but I assume it's a Tchum of the item, meaning of the object.
So in other words, that would mean then
that if an item started outside the city and if it was an item that was owned by a non-Jew, so that means then that if it comes into the city, it went outside of its chum, and now we have an issue. And perfect segue to the next Gemara, Hanu Dachri Dasla Mavrachta. So there were these rams that came into the town of Mavrachta. Sharlu Ravlev Nemechuzal Mizba Minayu. So Rava turned to the B'nai Mechuzah and he said to the B'nai Mechuzah, look, you can go ahead and you can buy these rams. Now, we're talking about a Yontif. We know, we've seen this already a number of times, that you're allowed to buy on Yontif, you're allowed to buy food on Yontif. So there's no problem of buying and selling. I'll tell you what the problem is. Problem is Tchum. These animals came from outside of the Tchum in order to get into the town of Mavrachta. And so we have a problem. In other words, if something comes from outside of Tchum, so you're not allowed to enjoy it, neither on Shabbos nor on Yontif. In this case, we're talking about Yontif. So the Gemara says, now, under what basis are you saying that it's okay? So you're saying on the basis of Rav Yehuda and Shmuel, the Hashmuel and Rav Yochanan, halachic Rav Yochanan. Okay, but you have Shmuel, I have Rav Yochanan. And we know, we go back to Klali Pesach, I know this was yesterday's discussion, but we know that Shmuel against Rav Yochanan, the halach is going to fall like Rav Yochanan. V'am Rav Chia Barav, and I'm Rav Yochanan, chefsei nachri kon and shvisa, gzera balam de nachri, atu balam de Yisrael. Okay? So in other words, these rams now fall under the rules of Tchum. They left their Tchum in order to get into the city. We have a problem. So the Gemara's response is, so Rava says, you're right, I'm going to concede the point. So these rams, in order to get into the town of Mavrachta, did leave their tchum. They therefore are prohibited. So therefore, the B'nai Mechuza, I'm really sorry, you cannot buy these rams and bring them home with you. But, says Rava, you people living right here in Mavrachta, for you people it's okay. Why? Why is it okay? Because remember what we learned in the beginning of the parak, the first discussion we had in the fourth parak of Erevin. If you are taken out of your tchum and you're by force, and you were deposited in another city, so or in any type of enclosed area, you can at least walk within the enclosed city or the enclosed area. Right? They had a long discussion about the boat and the boat leaving tchum. At least you can walk around over the totality of the boat. Now, if you remember the beginning of the fourth parak, you remember that was a machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel versus Rabbi Akiva, but the halacha was like Rabbi Gamliel. So what Rava says to the B'nai Mavrachta is, look, these rams that came outside of Tchum, even though they were owned by non-Jews, the halacha was like Rabbi Yochanan, I concede that point, and so therefore the animals left Tchum, that's a problem. But as long as these animals now are in the town of Mavrachta, so at least they get the totality of Mavrachta. No different than someone being dragged out of his tchum and being deposited into another enclosed area. Same thing over here. These animals weren't given a choice to leave their tchum in order to get into the town of Mavrachta. But B'nai Mechuza, which apparently is a neighboring town, you have a problem. You can't buy these animals in Mavrachta and bring them over to Mechuza. Okay. Ad Khan, the discussion of Cheftei Nachri, and by the way, that's the halacha. The halacha is that Cheftei Nachri are in fact subscribed to the principles of Tchum. It's not, in of itself, it's hard to understand, but basically the Gemara says it's a gzera. It's a rabbinic decree, because the Chachamim want us into the thought that something's owned by a person, its Tchum is going to follow its owner. That's true by a Jew, and by gzera, it's also true by non-Jew. The Gemara now continues. We're on the very bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Beis.
How are they going to carry out the transaction?
How are they going to credit?
Credit.
You have a tab with the seller. I mean, he knows. He knows coming into town. You know, it's Yontif, and they're going to need food, and they'll just simply ring up a credit. Tani Rabbi Chia. Okay, and now we have a discussion Tchum related, but now off the topic of Cheftei Nachri. Somewhat new topic. Cherim shebein tchumei Shabbos. I have a pool, a river. Right, Rashi describes it as Mitzudas Dagim. Okay, I have this pool between two cities, and you know where the center of the pool lands? Right on the Tchum border of both of these cities. So in other words, if I went up to this little pond, so what I could theoretically do is draw water from my half of this pond. My half, because it's within my tchum. And the person from the other city, whose tchum borders on the other side of this river, is going to be able to draw from his half. But, says Rabbi Chiya, in a braisa, not so fast. Cherem shebein tchumi Shabbos, tzarech mechitza shal barzel lahafsiko. The braisa says, in order for me to draw my from my half, and from his half, we need an iron curtain. We need a wall, right? Separating east from west. Okay, now, why? So, yeah, so that's exactly right. So if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi says the problem is going to be the following. Look, as we know, in other words, again, let's assume we're talking about Yontif, and it always makes the discussion easier. You're allowed to carry on Yontif, but you're not allowed to carry from outside of Tchum. So in other words, I have a pond. Half the pond is within my Tchum. The problem becomes is that when I draw water from the pond, it's water, right? It's a liquid. And the properties of liquid are such that I may not be drawing from my half of the pond. The water that I'm drawing may be from the other half of the pond. If you take a look at Rashi, second to last Rashi on the Amud, Tzarech lasos mechitza shal barzo, shelo yavru mayim shal tchom, ze letoch tchom ze. Dechom ma shebesoch tchom ha'ir, ein kone shvisam bimkomo, lios lo mekomo apayim am lechol ruach, ela basar ha'ir gavre. So first of all, that water follows the city, meaning the half of the pond that's within your tchom subscribes to the city's tchom. The imu b'sof ha-tchom en yachol azuz misham v'lachutz. Ve'en b'nei ha-tchom zeh yachol l'amos mitoch ha-tchom atzmo mimnei iruv mayim shel tchom acher. So Rashi says exactly the problem. Problem is that when I'm drawing water, I may in fact be drawing water from the other half of the pot. Solution, says Rabbi Chiya's Breisa, make an iron wall. A wall that really separates both halves of the pond so that there's no communication of water from one side to the other side, and that will allow me to draw water from my half of the pond. Okay. That is the Breisa in its totality. Yeah.
I mean, isn't there a collective tchum for that entire bank of water? It's not just one spot that you say, here's tchum for this part of the water. It's right. Like it's a whole unit.
Right, and so, and in other words, the assumption is that we're taking this pond and we're making a legal division of the pond.
No, but I'm saying you're saying that the water you're drawing, your concern is that it came from that other side, right?
Right.
But the thing is, if it's all one unit,
right? So that's what I'm saying. In other words, the assumption in the statement is that it's not one unit. Each drop of water is treated differently, and. And right, and it becomes bizarre because essentially, as Bein HaShemashos comes, so in other words, we're going to freeze frame that moment. All water on this side of the pond belongs to that city. All water on that side of the pond belongs to that city. And now nature takes its course. The water is going to get mixed together, and I'm going to be drinking water that started off over here. Okay, again, that's the thinking behind it. So when Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina hears the brisa, he can't get over it. He thinks it's a real knee slapper. Literally, he's mocking. He's laughing at the braisa. So my time to come a chayich. So the Gemara now wants to try to understand what to him was so funny about this braisa. By funny, I don't mean sense of humor, but in other words, he doesn't feel it's right. So the Gemara gives a couple of suggestions. So maybe lemem shum didni like Rav Yochanan ben Nori lechomra viu sfir lei karaban lekula, because again, to have this discussion of tchum for objects. So basically, aren't we subscribed to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri? Meaning the Rav Yochanan ben Nuri position is that items that are not owned fall under the category of tchum. And maybe the author of this braisa, just to even engage in this discussion, has to subscribe to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. And what could be is that Rav Yossi Rabbi Chanina, who was listening to the braisa and mocking the braisa, so maybe because he holds like the Chachamim, and he doesn't hold like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So the Gemara says, okay, that may be true, but that doesn't deserve to be ridiculed. Meaning Rav Yochanan ben Nuri is a legitimate shita, one which means we may not follow, but certainly not one where we can look at a Braisa who's subscribing to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri and say, ah, that Braisa. No. Meaning we may not accept that Braisa, but to mock and to ridicule it, so the Gemara says that can't be. So, Ilam Mishum Dini like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri lechomer Rav Yisro leilo karban lekula, O Mishum Desav lekula, Man Dini lechomer mechayichala. So, because someone takes on a more stringent position, so that's cause to mock him. The Gemara says that's absurd. Ela Mishum Detanya. So the Gemara says, I think I know why. Because the idea that water is a stationary body in which it's kona makam shvisa, the Gemara says, maybe that's what bothered him. In fact, second time now we're hearing this in the Masechta. If I have rivers that flow, if I have springs that flow, it doesn't have a tchum. Why doesn't it have a tchum? Because it's always in motion. And something which is always in motion does not, it wasn't stationary during the Bnei Shemashos period, and therefore doesn't acquire a tchum. A tchum means that the item has to be stationary during the Bnei Shemashos. V'dilma b'mechunasim. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right, but again, it's a brisa, and we can give an okimta to the brisa. Couldn't the brisa be talking about where it was a stationary body of water? And if so, so then it would be kona emak mishrisa. It would subscribe to tchum. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why Rabbi Yossi laughed at this brisa. Because look at the solution of the brisa, meaning I'm with you in the problem, but look at the solution. Make an iron wall. Now, when the Gemara was suggesting make an iron wall, doesn't mean like over the edge. But in other words, make an iron wall that goes through the water. So, Maishna Kanim Delo, the Isla Bumaya Shabarzel, Nami Isla Bumaya. So the Gemara says, what difference does it make? Meaning, the material of the wall, there's still going to be communication between one side and the other side. And.
It's a virtual wall.
Huh?
It's a virtual wall.
Yeah, so in other words, so. Either way, it's a virtual wall. So what difference does it make if I use Mechitza Shel Barzel or the already existing Mechitza Shel Kanim? In other words, there was already some sort of partition. Maybe what the Braisa means is, you're right, it's an impossibility. In fact, it's so impossible, that's exactly what the Braisa meant. The Braisa meant, really, you should need a Mechitza Shel Barzel, but we know that's impossible. So you know what? You know what you can do with this pond on Shabbos? Nothing. Or Yom Tov? Nothing. You can't draw water from the pond. Maybe that's what the brisa means. Ella, so the Gemara says, finally, again, why is Rav Yossi, when he hears this brisa, why is he mocking it? So Mishum Dekalu Shekilu Chachamim Amayim, Kederebi Tavla. So the Gemara says, because look, we're talking about walls and water. What's the story of walls and water? We've seen the story a number of times. That when it comes to accessing water, the Chachamim were always mekel, always. Any mechitza that allows a person access to water is going to work. Even mechitzas that under other circumstances do not work. So for example, can I have a mechitza tuluya, a suspended wall, a hanging wall, a wall that does not go all the way down to the ground? So does that work? So the answer is no. Amrle ein mechitza tuluya materas. Ela b'mayim. Only under the circumstances at which this hanging wall allows the person to access water, right? Remember the case we talked about where, like, he was like Vienna. It was like he was like his house goes right over a body of water, and so what he wanted to do was draw water from the from outside his window on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. So what does he do? So basically, he creates a box. He drops the pail through the box. He gets the water through that pail. It's a mechitza tului. It's a hanging mechitza. Okay, legabe mayim, vis-a-vis water, a mechitza tuli is going to work. But that's only because it's water. Here, it's water, meaning it's a pond. El b'mayim, kalu shekilu chachamim b'mayim. So in other words, when it comes to water, any wall is going to do, even a wall that under normal circumstances is not considered a halakhic wall, but over here, any wall will do. So over here, if I have some sort of partition, a fence, a wicker fence, anything, that's separating one side from the pond from the other side of the pond. So we're going to say, this side belongs to that tchum, that side belongs to that tchum, and be done with it. And that's why Rav Yossi cannot possibly imagine that this Bryce is correct, that you have to make a mechitza shel barzel. Okay. Ad kan, and now we go back to the Mishnah. Okay, now in the Mishnah, what was our topic of discussion? We're going all the way back. Right, we've been in Gemara now for some time, and we go all the way back to Daf Mem Hei. So the Mishnah was discussing the person who got stuck in the middle of nowhere, and he fell asleep, and he fell asleep during the Bnei Shemashos period. And upon waking up, he has now absolutely no tchum. Now again, Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri is going to disagree. But okay. But the Chachamim's position is, you have to know Tchum, because in order to have a Tchum, you have to be Kona your Makam Shvisa, because he was sleeping during the Bein HaShemashos period. He was not Kona's Makam Shvisa, and therefore, what is he left with on Shabbos? It's going to be a lonely Shabbos, and it's going to be a very limited, restricted Shabbos, in which you can only walk around Dalet Amos. Now the Mishnah then went on to discuss how do you exactly measure these four Amos. So that turned into a machlokas in the Mishnah. Just to look all the way back to the Mishnah, all the way back on Mem Hamad Aleph. So the Mishnah presented to us a number of opinions. Rabbi Lazar Omer Avahu Be'emtzan. So Rabbi Lazar says there's nothing to figure out. You're in the middle of the Dalet Amos, meaning basically two Amos in every direction. You're in the center. That is where that's where you can walk around. You could pace for the rest of that Shabbos, but two Amos in every direction. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Le'izaruch Sheyirtze Yelech. Then the Mishnah brings in the position of Yehuda. What do you mean? You could choose, right? Umoder of Yehuda Sheimbira Lo Sheni Yachalach Zabo. But once you choose, that's it. Okay. And then the Mishnah brought in the position of no. Sorry. Rabbi Shimon. I'm sorry, did I skip one? Yes, I did. Thank you. I'm looking for three positions over here. Okay. The Chachamim Omrim Ein Lo Ela Arba Amos. Thank you. Okay. Stuart's got me. So so first the Chachamim say you have four Amos. Then Rabbi Lazar says then you're in the middle. And then Rabbi Yehuda says no, you could choose. Okay. The Gemara asks the following question. We're now back on our daf. Today's daf is Memches. And the Gemara is bothered by a very simple question, which is, Rabbi Yehuda, Ayin Tanakama. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda is espousing a viewpoint, but at the surface, it looks like Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama are saying the same thing. Amar Rava, Shmona, Ashmona, Ika Benayu. The Gemara says, no, they're not. They're not saying the same thing. The difference is the following. According to the Chachamim, you have four Amos in every direction. Meaning, you're given Dal Amos. You want to go? You want to take your Dal Amos to the north? That's fine. You want to take it to the south? That's fine.
Radius.
Right. In other words, right. Correct. Meaning a radius of four Amos, and maybe we can even square off the circle. But that discussion is coming up later on in the parak. And according to Rav Yehuda, no. Rav Yehuda says you have four Amos, and you're not automatically in the center of the four Amos, and you could choose. But once you choose, that's it. Choice has been made. So in other words, you can go four Amos to the north, but that's it. Once you go four Amos to the north, you can go zero Amos to the south. Okay, good. Now, Tanya Me'achi Yesh Loshman Ashman Adiver Rabbi Meir. That's the Rabbi Meir I was looking for. Okay, good. Wonderful. And we have a Bryce, and the Bryce says you're given eight Amos. Diver Rabbi Meir, that's the position of Rabbi Meir. Good. That position of Rabbi Meir, now we go back to our Mishnah, now we plug it into the Mishnah. Now we know that that's the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, is in fact Rabbi Meir. The Amar Rabbi Machlokas Lahalach. Havalatalta Diver Halakal Arba Amos in Tve Lo. The Gemara says, now, this whole discussion of where you can walk, that's only in terms of hiluch, that's only in terms of walking. In terms of carrying, according to everybody, all you have is four Amos, and all you have is, and the default is that you're centered within those four Amos. Yeah, so again, so if you have to go to the bathroom, so the Gemara says that's kavod abrios, so that's human dignity, that's going to override. So then you can walk outside.
But,
huh? I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know where you can go. But it's interesting, though. Previously, when we talked about having the need to go to the bathroom, you started Shabbos with a tchum, and you were taken out, and the bathroom allows you to go into your tchum. Here, you got a bit of a problem. It's a different case. Here, you didn't start off Shabbos with a tchum. You fell asleep during the Bein HaShemashos period, and you were in the middle of nowhere. So here, like in other words, if you have to go to the bathroom, I don't know what that means after that. Meaning, where do you go now? Okay, meaning I'm just pointing out. It's a strange discussion, but I'm just pointing out it's not exactly the same as we were discussing in the beginning of the parak. Now, v'hani dal amosech k'siva. Now, the Gemara wants to know biblical sources. Now, what a strange discussion, biblical sources, meaning we're talking Tchum now, on Shabbos. Tchum is basically a din d'rabbanan. So, what you could say over here in our Gemara is the Gemara is seeking some sort of a smachta, meaning where the Chachamim attach a din d'rabbanan onto a pasuk min haTorah, Okay, it could be. The kid detained. So the Gemara says, we learned in the following pasuk: Shvu ish tachtav. The pasuk says in Parshas Bishalach, you know what you do on Shabbos? You sit. You know where you sit? Right underneath where you are. Shvu ish tachtav. Now, in the context of the pasuk basically means don't go out looking for the mon, because it's not coming. Shvu ish tachtav. You just stay put. What are you going to eat on Shabbos? Well, we know the answer to that. Double portion came on Friday. But the Gemara now is going to look at this pasuk, independent of the context of the Torah, and basically learn out the Dalai Lama's from this pasuk. It says, Shvu ish tachtav, v'kama tachtav, I'm sorry, I missed an important word, kitachtav, meaning that the allowance that you have to shop is to walk, meaning for the person who doesn't have tchum. The allowance for the person to walk is just 4 amas, and that's it. No more than 4 amas. That's how much area it covers underneath you. Now, that's a little bit strange. 4 amas is somewhere between 6 to 8 feet. As you're standing up, and your foot is on the ground, so your foot is basically a foot wide. So where are we getting 6 to 8? So the Gemara's understanding is that what the Torah says, Shvu ish tachtav, it means while lying down. Okay, now, kama tachtav gufu shal shamas, we've seen this time and again. Average length of a person is 3 amas. Right, with or without the head, it's always a discussion. Tosfos over here has that discussion. Anyway, but let's just say it simply. Average height of a person is 3 amas. The amakadei, they're good. So that's 3 amas. We want to get to 4. So where does the 4th ama come from? Amakadei lifshot yada viraglav divra Rabbi Meir. So we have 2 opinions over here in terms of how we get from 3 to 4. Where does that 4th ama come from? So not only do you need leg room, but you also need arm room. Meaning you want to stretch your arms out. So in other words, as you're lying down and your arms are stretched out, so that gives you 4 amas. That's Rav Meir Shita. Rav Yehuda Amar, Gufu Shalosh Amas. Va'ama kidei she'ito chefet mitachat ma'golosav, u'miniach tachat mirashosav. And according to Rav Yehuda, no. The 4th ama comes from the fact that not only shvu ish tachtav, that you get to lie down, which is 3 amas, but then, which also you need to do, is pick an item up from where your feet are to put it under your head. So in other words, you need a little bit more room in order to maneuver items around you. My Beinayu now, they're both arriving at the same conclusion. That Shvu Ish Tachtav, that if you don't have Tchum, you're given 4 amos, 3 for the height, and then the 4th, either for the stretching of the arm, or for moving items around. But is there a difference between these two positions? Ika Beinayu, the Gemara says, yeah, subtle difference. Arba Amos Mitzum Samos. 4 amos exactly. Meaning, without Rashi, I'd be stuck. According to Rav Yehuda, I'm reading Rashi. Rashi doesn't have a Divra Maschal. Rashi is a little bit above where we are in the Gemara. L'Rav Yehuda, Mitzum Samos. According to Rav Yehuda, it's an exact measurement. And according to Rav Meir, Gedolos. Depisha Yadayim V'Raglayim, Yoser Ma'amahu. Meaning, when you raise your arms, it's going to be a little bit more than an ama, so it doesn't mean 4 amas exactly, it means around 4 amas, because the raising of your arms is going to be more than just simply an ama, which, by the way, makes sense. Meaning, an ama, as we know, basically, from the elbow to the top of the middle finger. So now, if I'm raising my arm, so obviously it's going to be, I mean, I guess it depends how big your head is, but there's going to be a little bit more, it'll be a little bit more than another ama. Okay. The Gemara asks, Samalei Rav Mishar Shalabere, Ki Alita Lakami Dera Papa, Ba'u Mine. I want you please to ask Rav Papa the following question. Arba Amashar Amru Ba'ama Didei Yahavinalei, O Ba'ama Shal Kodesh Yahavinalei. We say that if a person's stuck, and all they have is 4 amas, my question is the following. Are those objective amas, or are those subjective amas? Okay, meaning, we know the following. In other words, you want to know how much a foot is or how much a yard is. So there's a measuring stick. Well, where has that measuring stick? No. So there's a standard measuring stick somewhere in Washington, D.C., somewhere tucked away. And it tells us what is the standard size of a foot. What's the standard size of a yard? Okay, good. In halacha, same thing is true regarding an amma. An amma is a linear measurement that we use to build the base of Mikdash. Okay? So how do they know how long an amma is? So they actually have the standard amma that's situated in the Beis HaMikdash. It's by the wall known as the Shushan HaBira, Right? I remember that because, I mean, we went through Midos, but I remember that because Rashi says it right over here. So that, you know, help trigger my memory. But anyway, but good. So there's a standard measuring stick. So in other words, there's a standard amma. The Gemara wants to know, this halacha that you're given four ammas if you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, is that an objective amma or is that a subjective amma? Meaning, because what an amma could also be is most literally your arm. Meaning an arm's length. That's what an amma actually means. So in other words, from the bend of your elbow to the top of your middle finger as it's outstretched. So is it, in this particular situation, is it objective or is it a subjective measurement? Right, second reference of Og in this Masechta. Now, if it's an objective measurement, so let's just call it, for sake of argument, let's say it's 2 feet. And so let's say now you're stuck to an 8 by 8 foot area. So if you're Og Melech HaBashan, or if you will, right, I'll go a little more current, if you're Andre the Giant, so in other words, you're really not going to have a pleasant job. You have literally no wiggle room. You probably can't even fit in that forearm area. So in other words, it's got to be, I mean, it's only the only rational suggestion, it's got to be a subjective measurement. So what's the problem with that conclusion? Well, here, you just have to know Mishnayos. If you don't know Mishnayos, like me, so if you don't know Mishnayos, you never would have gotten this. V'im amalecha ba'amidi deya v'inalei, eim alei, my time lo katan le gaba yeshamru, ha'kolev v'imashu hu adam. Why didn't they make it into the Mishnah and Kalim? The Mishnah and Kalim, 17th parak of Kalim, goes through a list of measurements in the Torah which are not objective, but are rather subjective. So over here, if you're telling me that my Dalan Amos of Shabbos, of Shvu Ish Tachtav, if those four Amos are a subjective measurement, which seems to be the logical conclusion, so how come you're not finding it in the Mishnah and Kalim? And by the way, you could look at the Mishnah and Kalim. If you want to cheat, you could look at Rashi over here. Rashi gives you like a quick synopsis of the Mishnah and Kalim in terms of all the measurements that are subjective, not objective. In the meantime, however, how come it didn't make the list? So the Gemara says, look, in learning, you know, it's an accusation which you almost never hear in learning, but you're being too precise in your learning. You're trying to make too many diukim in your learning. Meaning your writer didn't make the Mishnah and Kalim. Okay. It's okay. La olam ba'am didei avilei, u dekakashalach maitam alo katani gabi yeshamru, and I'll give you an explanation in terms of why I didn't make it the Mishnah and Kalim. Because it's not always true. Meaning, yes, generally speaking, it's a subjective measurement. And generally speaking, the arm is going to be measured based on the person who got stuck. So if it's a large person, it's based on his arms. If it's a small person, it's based on his arms. But what if, and I know this sounds like a funny what if, but what if the person is very large, but with very short arms? So for that person, Mishum de'ika nanas, Be'eva Rav. Right, the word nanas means midget. But this midget, though, strange midget, he almost like a dwarfism, where he has a regular sized torso, but he has very short arms, very short legs. So for this person, if we say to him, you know, you only have four amos, and it's subjective relative to your arm length, so you put him at a very serious disadvantage. Now, he's got basically a regular sized body, but very reduced, very short arms, it's not going to work out for him.
Should yes. Where your head is? Shouldn't just your head determine where you are in space?
It,
things?
Meaning, but no, in other words, but it's you have four amas.
Right, but if you're tall, it doesn't matter how tall you are. Your head is
right. Right. So again, that goes back to the discussion. The Gemara says the average person is three amas, and I'm telling you, you're going to see it again and again. Is that measurement to three amas with or without the head? So I'm telling you, the Tosos always goes back and forth on this issue. We never have absolute clarity on this issue. Mixas amos of shelzeh, and then the Mishnah went on to discuss cases where, let's say I have two people side by side, and both of them got stuck. In other words, they were traveling, they were both tired, they both fell asleep during the Beinos Moshes period, and they woke up, and now they're stuck in the Dalet Amos. So now, right, it's two people. One of their, they encroach on one another. So there's an overlap. So what do we learn in the Mishnah? great, they can dine together in that overlap area, so they'll have a nice a table for two, and they'll eat in that overlap area. What if it's three people? What do we say in the Mishnah? And the case is A overlaps with B, B overlaps with C, but A and C don't overlap at all. So what's the story over there? So A can eat with B, and B can eat with C, and okay, good. So, and then Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah says, you know what this is just like? It's just like the three chaseres that are one next to another. And A made an erev with B. And B makes an erev with C. A can carry to B, and B can carry to C. Okay, Rabbi Shimon says, it's just like that analogy. And when we learned the Mishnah, you remember I quipped in the Mishnah, like, how did Rabbi Shimon help us understand anything with that analogy? Meaning, essentially, it's the same, it is or it isn't the same thing, but in other words, we got it before Rabbi Shimon came with his analogy. So, So the Gemara says, the analogy is really because there's a story behind the story, which is michti. So you see, when it comes to the three chatzeros, see, there's baggage, there's background to that story, which is the Chachamim don't agree to Rabbi Shimon when it comes to the three chatzeros for reasons which we'll discuss tomorrow. But in other words, the Chachamim don't agree with Rabbi Shimon. And so now, basically, this discussion turns into really Rabbi Shimon saying to the Chachamim, I don't understand. You don't agree with me about the case of the chatzeros, but you do agree with me over here. I have three people. Each one of them only has dalar amos. A overlaps with B. B overlaps with C. And you agree with me. A and B can dine together. B and C can dine together. And A and B cannot dine together. How is that any different? This is really what's going on in the Mishnah. How is that any different in the case of the chatzeros? And if you agree with me about the three people, why aren't you agreeing with me about the chatzeros? Verabanan.
The three people could be very close together, so that for amos is like.
Yeah, but the case is, I understand that, but the case is A has zero, has no overlap with C. So the Gemara is going to give a different answer. Verabanan hasam afshe diurin, hachalo afshe diurin. And the Gemara's answer is, well, there's a huge difference. See, in the case of three people, that's it. All you got is three people. So in other words, for one person now to tell the guy A, you know, any overlapped area with you and B, that's great. Meaning you and B can now sit down together, enjoy your food together. But you and C, you got nothing to do. You have no overlap. You can't eat with C. Got it? A's like, yeah, I got it. Good. So in other words, with three people, it's very easy to follow direction. And now, try instructing an entire chatzer. All you people, now you get out the megaphone, all you people in chatzer A, you can carry an item to B, but you can't carry it to C. Right? Forget about it. It's not going to work. And you'll say the same thing to chatzer C, meaning once there's more than one person involved, and here there's a whole chatzer of people involved, and to tell them all, look, you can't carry from A to C, so that only going to lead to mass confusion. Okay, and let me just set ourselves up for tomorrow.
Isn't this the opposite of the whole idea that we talked about? If it's like a wet towel, we allow one person, you know, we don't allow one person to carry.
Right.
But if there's many people, we remind
each other. Uh-huh, very good, very good. And why over here
right. Can
we not say that? Very good. It's an excellent question. Please let me think about it. I don't know. Okay, and let me just set ourselves up for tomorrow. Okay, so now as long as we got onto this analogy of the three chatzeros, let's think about this just a little bit. We'll pause, and tomorrow we'll pick it right up. These three chatzeros, what happened? Chatzer A made, in other words, they were opened up one to another. And by the way, they're also all opened up to Rishos HaRabim. Now, we know the rules regarding an Erev chatzeros. Each chatzer can make their own independent Erev. If there's a Pesach between chatzer A and chatzer B, if they want, they don't have to, but if they want, they can make one joint Erev for A and B. If I have three chatzeros opened up, A, B, and C all open up together, again, if they want, they can make one joint unified Erev. The case that we're discussing is the case where I have three chatzeros, each one is next to the other, A is next to B and B is next to C. Obviously, A and C are not next to one another. So, and two Erevs were made. B made an Erev with A, B made an Erev with C. And what's the halacha as it's presented to us? That A can carry to B because they're unified. and B can carry to C, or C can carry to B because they're unified, but A can carry to C. And if we think about it for just a moment, it's a little bit strange. Meaning,
can they merge?
Right? Is exactly? Isn't there a merge that just happened? Mm-hmm. Meaning, if A made an error with B, and B made an error with C, so haven't we made now one large error? Good. I leave us off with that question, right? And it's not going to be one simple answer. Meaning that is going to be the entirety. Amud Beis is very short. God willing, tomorrow we'll be able to catch up. But basically, we're going to ask that question tomorrow, and we're going to try to attempt to give some sort of understanding of why it isn't one large merge. Okay, continue. Refuah Shleima for Binyamin Zevakon, Ben Shimon Rivka, for Yakira, for Avram. I'm sorry, Rafal Zak Avram Ben Yakira Avigail. Rabbi Chana, huh? Le'ilui Nishmas Rav Yosef, Rav Yaakov Ben Yosef. Okay, brain's working great today. Rabbi Chana Ben Akash Amar Ratzakash Baruch Zakir Sol Fi Chachir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenemar Anay Chafetz Amatziko Yagdil Tu Rav Yadir.